The Siege of Uriah III would enter the annals of the Night Lord's Legion for its significance, if not its duration. The fortress rising from the side of the mountains was shielded against orbital bombardment, with multi-layered void fields offering dense resistance to any assault from the skies. As with many such defensive grids, the overlapping shields were considerably more vulnerable to attack from the ground. Behind the marching warriors came entire battalions of Legion war machines, massive land raiders leading the way for the more compact Vindicator siege tanks, along with their Predator counterparts. Arrayed across ridges, nestled atop outcroppings and landed by Thunderhawk carriers along cliff edges, the Legion's armor battalions aimed cannons and turrets at the fortress's walls. There was no heroic speech, no inspirational mantra. With a single word of order, the tanks opened fire as one, lighting the night with the brilliant flare of lascannon beams and the incendiary bursts from demolisher turrets. In the shadows cast by the flickering shield and the storm of assaulting fire, Talos watched the siege begin in earnest. Sirion approached where he knelt on the lip of a cliff.
How long do you think they could keep us out?
Talos lowered his bolter, no longer looking through the gun sight. The fortress itself was blurred behind a mirage of wavering air, a haze that gave off no heat. The void shield distorted the view of what lay behind it, reducing the battlements to uneven silhouettes.
With over 500 tanks at the walls, this firepower would cripple an Imperator in a heartbeat. Blood of the Father Sirion, we've not gathered this much armor in one place since the Siege of Terra. The walls will fall, and we'll be inside before dawn.
The prediction was true enough. The sky was not yet lightening when 4 hours later, the void shield shimmered, fluttering like an ailing heartbeat, before disintegrating with a thunderclap of displaced air pressure. The Night Lords closest to the shield's edge were thrown from their feet, dozens of squads sent crashing across the icy landscape in the powerful rush of air adding to the snowstorm's gale. Without pause, without respite, the tanks turned their cannons upon the fortress's lower walls. The first breach was torn exactly 13 seconds later. A section of rock wall blasted inward under a demolisher shell. Squads broke into loping runs, moving around the still-firing tanks. They entered with the freezing wind, chainswords revving into life. The defenses were broken, and the slaughter could begin.